CE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House is adamant that the Maryland man deported to El Salvador on suspicions he was a gang member will remain in a prison there.
Nothing will change the fact that Abrego Garcia will never be a Maryland father. He will never live in the United States of America again.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt speaking Wednesday, even though the Supreme Court's ordered the Trump administration to facilitate Abrego Garcia's return. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen was blocked from meeting with Abrego Garcia when he traveled to El Salvador. Separately, a federal judge said there's probable cause the Trump administration acted in contempt of court in defying his ruling to bring back two airplanes carrying deported migrants. Officials from the U.S. and Japan met Wednesday for trade talks. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that the economic effects of President Trump's tariffs will lead to higher inflation and slower growth. Today, Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Paris for talks on the Russia-Ukraine war. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Sheridan and Paramount Plus are proving to be a match made in ratings heaven. Sheridan's 1923 season 2 finale brought in over 14 million viewers, the most ever for the series, as people tuned in to finally see World War I hero and lion hunter Spencer Dutton come to the defense of his family's land. As a result, the show joined Landman and Tulsa King as the top three shows on Paramount Plus. The season 2 finale of 1923 also got 163 million views on social media. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia will return for its 17th season in July. In a related story, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia has been on for 17 seasons. In the new season, the Patty's Pub gang struggles as they are about to see their beloved bar devoured by corporate America. Admittedly, I completely forgot it was still on the air, but it is currently the longest running live action series. The new season starts July 9th on FX with shows screening on Hulu the next day. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers tank the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win next day. You have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball. The Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. In Green Bay, the NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, we'll be giving a cheerful farewell to Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. It's been an amazing journey, but this is not the end. He'll still be involved in my podcast down the line.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thundershowers likely from later this morning into this afternoon. Mid-60s for a high. Tonight, showers, scattered thundershowers, low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. go-to for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz is in the guest co-host chair with me. We go deep on Trump's constitutional crisis and is Abrego Garcia alive? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Thursday, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Pretty mild temperatures driving in this morning. You know, we had that day in the sunshine. Now we can expect some clouds, maybe even some rain leading into the Easter holiday weekend. Here in Madison, expect cloudy skies and stray showers or thunderstorms, highs in the mid-60s. Heading east to the lakeshore, Milwaukee will see partly cloudy skies during the morning hours, and those will become overcast in the afternoon. Expect wind gusts higher than 25 miles per hour with highs in the upper 50s. It's a similar story heading north to Green Bay, although a little warmer with highs in the low 60s. And then moving straight west to the other side of the state in Eau Claire, they're going to see scattered thunderstorms with highs in the low 60s. We'll get full forecast details in about 15 minutes from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. I've got a full morning queued up for you. Cody Koster is a dairy agent and broker with EverAg. He's coming on later in the hour with the latest trends in today's dairy markets from both the producer and the consumer perspective. You're also not going to want to miss coverage from some of the events that the Midwest Farm Report team has been covering. For example, Ben Jarbo and I had the chance to meet scientist, inventor, and animal expert Temple Grandin while she was on the UW-Madison campus. Ben brings us a conversation with her at the bottom of the hour. But first, Charity Seebecker talks to a lender from the recent Ag Bankers Conference. Who's spending money on what in today's economic climate? We'll find out.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Agriculture and ag lending are entering a new era. Right now, the U.S. economy is holding steady, but other parts of the world are facing challenges. In farming, grain producers are feeling the squeeze, while livestock and more diverse farms are doing better. Why is this, and what challenges and opportunities will come next? I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Dr. David Cole, an expert in agriculture economics from Virginia Tech, joins me to break it down.
We have a bifurcated economy, world economy. In other words, the U.S. economy is doing quite well. The rest of the world is struggling. The reason the U.S. economy is doing quite well is basically our deficit spending. And also our equity markets, our stock market and real estate has gone up. So that has really fueled consumption spending. So 70% of the U.S. economy is driven off that. And so that's been the big drivers of change. Of course, with the possible tariffs and the decline in the stock market, we could see that change dramatically. It's the stairs up, the elevator down. In other words, when things correct, it corrects fast. If you look at it, we have a layered economy, and ALICE is the asset limited income constrained, but they're fully employed. Believe it or not, they're only 4% of the consumption. These were the people that received the stimulus checks. Now they've run up a lot of credit card debt, auto debt, and now it's becoming delinquent, but they're struggling. But it's not enough to put the U.S. economy into difficulty. The one I'm watching really closely is the Henry Group. They're the high earners, but they're not rich yet. They'll earn $100,000 to $500,000 in household income. One of the things is they're struggling to buy a home because they're carrying considerable university debt, plus interest rates are pretty high. So what do? Well, they haven't invested in the stock market or in the home, so they haven't had the asset appreciation. So they are spending. They'll go to the Cancuns, or they'll go to Europe. They'll go to the Super Bowl or Taylor Swift concert. But these people are very vulnerable because these are the people, when we start watching unemployment statistics and watching them real close, these are the ones that are starting to get laid off. This group right here could put us into a recession light. The group I'm really watching are the Hermans. They're the high earners. They're the rich. They're very mobile, but a lot of it, their wealth is in appreciated net worth. They'll have $1 million to $10 million in real estate appreciation or in stock appreciation, sometimes $10 to $25 million. This group, believe it or not, controls 49.8% of all the consumption. They're a third of the GDP of the United States of America. So when this stock market goes whipsawing the way it is, they're watching it real closely, and many of them are over 60 years of age. So there's no wealth effect. Every time a stock or a real estate increases a dollar in value, you spend 4 cents more. But when it declines, you spend 8 cents less because you panic. But if you're over 60, 20 cents less. And so we're watching this real closely. Consumer confidence out of the University of Michigan is down near 50, lowest since 1981. And so I'm watching that very, very closely. That would be storm clouds on the horizon.
Why do you think we're seeing so much financial struggles in the grain sector while all our sectors are holding on a bit better? I know it has a lot to do with our ag economy going on right now.
This is one of the concerns I have for tariffs, because $1 in $5 in net farmer income is the export markets. What we've got, it's basically a supply and demand issue. Of course, weather could change that very, very quickly. Positive news is sometimes the best decisions are made during the tough times, because you've got to really zero in and focus as a manager. Contrast that to livestock. Beef is hotter than a pepper sprout. However, if we were to go into a recession, you know, those expensive steaks become ground beef very, very quickly. And so the point I'm trying to get across there, the worst mistakes are made in the top of the cycle, because sometimes we'll lose our disciplines and sometimes egos get in the way. In other words, I'm leaving money on the table or something like that. Well, if you're going to be in this in the long term, you're going to leave money on the table.
You've worked with farmers and lenders across the country. So how do the ag economies of Virginia or other places compare to Wisconsin? What stands out to you?
You know, it's real interesting. There are differences. Yeah. You take East Coast, West Coast agriculture. There's pockets of large farm businesses. But then you've got a peripheral of value-added businesses, small part-time farms, et cetera, et cetera. That will be some of the geographic differences I see. But you know what the same is? I'm seeing it amongst my young and beginning farmers. I had a banker tell me this the other day. They're in it for more than the profit. They're in it for the why. I'll just give you an example. Had a couple in South Dakota. They moved to South Dakota from Omaha, Nebraska. Why? To raise their children. And so there are a lot of similarities. Other similarities sometimes in the Midwest, but we'll see it on the East Coast as well, or on the West Coast. Sometimes people get enamored with their land. You know, I tell them they're all renters and leasers in the long run, because you can't take it with you. And so what will happen is sometimes they get very lax on their management practices, because the inflated land, they think, can bail them out of the poor decisions. So, you know, that's kind of the contrast and the comparison. You know what the other thing I'm seeing? Fewer farmsteads. And what does that tell me? Consolidation of agriculture. Fewer yard lights out there. I noticed that the other morning driving across southern Minnesota. And I've been, you know, I've been in this for decades. And I go, wow. This is, there's becoming fewer yard lights out there. So those are some of the things that I'll see.
How can farmers and ag lenders better prepare for inflation, the interest rate swings, all of these changes that are coming with international trade policy, all these things that are coming up?
Keyword, spreadsheets. No, in other words, have a good set of spreadsheets. And what you got to do is you got to make up your assumptions. And again, everybody says, how can you make up your assumptions in this? This is where you do sensitivity analysis. What if we have this production or this price, this cost? You know what that does? It sets the guardrails out there so that you can make more objective decisions rather than emotional decisions. Second thing is focus on the controllables. And you can't control what's going on in Washington, D.C. or Moscow or Beijing. You'll go nuts if you pay attention to that. Focus on some of the things that you can control in your business. In other words, what crops enterprises are we going to raise? In other words, what do we have to do to get this level of production or this level of cost? What are we going to do on marketing and risk management so when that window comes, we can make it an objective? You've got to remember, the human body only has X amount of energy. If you put all that energy to those uncontrollables, it's very, very destructive. And you know, in the long run, too, never equate your self-worth to your net worth, because it's very fleeting. It's one of those things that appreciate your physical, mental health, spiritual health. It's very important to keep that balance out there in life.
In your experience, what sets successful farmers apart during economic downturns?
Oh, it goes back. They're very, very goal-oriented. They'll develop the cash flow. But you know what the other thing is? They'll have a good advisory team. Sometimes that advisory team could be a lender, farm management consultant type of instructor. It could be other peer. And sometimes the peers will hold them accountable. In other words, it's kind of like you're working out or everything. Well, I got to go down to the health club because so-and-so is going to be there to hold me accountable. That's one of the things that I find. You know what the other thing that I find? They have an educational mindset. They're deliberate on it, and they will go to educational events. And I'll hear some of them grumble, I haven't learned anything new. I've heard this before. Sometimes you got to take things from the back of your mind, put them up on the front burner. In other words, keeping that open mind.
And what advice would you give for managing strained loan portfolios, or just advice in terms of navigating the next 25 years for the industry?
Some of the trends that are going to be coming at us, regenerative agriculture, soil and water health is going to be critical, because if you've got a healthy soil, got a healthy plant, animal, human being, and environment, that's going to be one thing as we go, you know, out there toward 2050. You're going to see the medical field and the agricultural industry collaborate more together. It's going to be very powerful in what I call proactive health rather than popping a pill and reactive health. I'm already starting to see it. Some of the folks are picking it up in the value-added type of businesses, but it's going to be out there. I think the other element is teach your children well. You think about it, 21% of American farmers and ranchers don't have another family to come back in. Sometimes that's the best, because you don't have all that family baggage. So that transition plan to the next generation, very, very important.
Once again, that's Dr. David Cole along with us. Despite market pressures and shifting global dynamics, Dr. Cole's message is clear. Success lies in thoughtful planning and resilience. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone or just taking a deep, calming breath to ground yourself. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, legal issues continue surrounding the man deported to El Salvador. Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Might put a damper on that, huh?
It could do that, Stephanie, but I don't expect this to be a major rainmaker. I mean, we're not going to get inches of rain, and the storm chances aren't all that threatening, but the possibility of a localized heavier amount of rain or maybe some hail could be something we talk about. Low pressure out to the west today. It's trying to push east. A warm front kind of extends down through Iowa from northwest to southeast Iowa. There's a cool front back in the Nebraskas. That's where most of the Dakotas. That's where most of the activity is. Scattered showers in north central South Dakota, up into North Dakota, very far north. Northwest Minnesota, some storminess down around northeastern Kansas, northwestern Missouri. None of that going to be an imminent threat in Wisconsin. What we can expect today will be some sunshine, but clouds start to build on in. And with the approach of that low and that warm front out of the south, the chance of rain, showers, possibly a thunderstorm. That chance may pop up yet this morning in southwest Wisconsin, and the chances then become later and later the further you head to the east and northeast part of the state. But rain is expected. It will be around through the nighttime, and we're talking rain amounts pretty easily up into a quarter and half inch range, maybe a little heavier in west central Wisconsin. We'll keep an eye out there, but I expect that rain chance then to last through the night. Tomorrow, the cool front finally passes through, and that may again kick off a little scattered shower or thunderstorm. Some of that chance a bit later in the day or on into the evening, but all the rain should end by Friday night. And by the weekend then, for the holiday weekend, I'm expecting to be a little bit cooler. Temperatures more like normal Saturday or a degree or two below on Sunday. But there's a pretty good chance we stay a lot drier for Saturday and a good part of Sunday. By late day Sunday and into Sunday night, another round of some rainfall may scatter on into the area, and then we may add another quarter to half inch as we start into the early part of next week. So we're getting more moisture right now. Not the best of news if you're planning to spend more time in the field, at least hauling manure or doing something. The rainfall is probably going to slow us down through the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Of the grain crops, wheat and barley are two of the most sensitive to copper deficiencies. Badge SC from Gowan USA is effective for overcoming copper deficiencies while providing broad-spectrum disease protection. Badge SC can be applied from the end of dormancy through boot and tank mixed with many herbicides, fertilizers, or fungicides. When it comes to improving the yield and quality of your wheat and barley, Badge SC has you covered. Ask your ag retailer about Badge SC, America's number one selling liquid copper brand. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Company.
At Newfields Ag, they know that when your corn crop needs a nitrogen boost, time is of the essence. That's why they developed N-Bolster, a powerful planter-applied nitrogen-fixing solution designed to strengthen your corn's performance all season long. N-Bolster delivers essential nutrients out of the gate, enhancing photosynthesis, improving plant resilience, and boosting growth right when your crop needs it most. Whether you're facing a mid-season slump or just want to maximize yields, N-Bolster helps your crop stay strong all season long. Learn more at NewfieldsAg.com. N-Bolster, innovations in your field.
Stu, we talked about scattered thunderstorms, localized rain events, maybe throwing a wrench in any field work. The good news, though, is with April showers, we'll remedy some of the lingering drought that we've seen in Wisconsin. Is that right?
That's right. We are adding some moisture, and I guess that's a good thing, and it's happening a little earlier in the season for us. Our new Fields Ag forecast does indeed call for clouds to be on the increase today and showers. That development may happen yet later this morning in the southeast into the afternoon. Further east, there could be some thunderstorm development later in the afternoon as well. Temps about 60 in the south, mid-50s north, and south winds will be stronger, 10 to 20, gusting near 30. Mostly cloudy, that chance of a shower or storm lingering in the nighttime. The thunderstorm chance less than as we head toward late night. Temps don't drop a lot. Low 50s, maybe a mid 50 in the south, with the south wind still quite strong, gusting to 20 and 35. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Still some mild air nearby. Could be a 70 in southern Wisconsin. maybe just around 60 in the north. A shower, a thunderstorm developing again with that cool front. South winds begin to shift tomorrow about 5 to 15. And then the rain ends Friday night. By Saturday, partly sunny. Upper 50s in the south, only mid-50s in the north, Stephanie. And a little cooler on Sunday and maybe some rain again by late in the day.
Thanks, Stu, for that Newfields Ag weather update. We'll catch you back here again tomorrow morning.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2024, a ballot measure to throw out Ohio's dysfunctional, politician-led redistricting process had its description rewritten by state officials to sink it. Now, Ohio officials are trying to sink two more measures they don't like, and the U.S. Supreme Court is now involved. Some background. Ohio's fair and truthful ballot measure requirements allows the state to modify a ballot measure's description to make it more accurate for voters. But can it use that authority to manipulate the process and block citizens from moving their ballot measure forward? Organizers tried for 2 years to get the language okayed to gather signatures for the Protecting Ohioans' Constitutional Rights measure, giving citizens the private right to sue the state and removing the qualified immunity that police and government officials are currently given. While organizers have acted in good faith, Federal District Court Judge Karen Nelson Moore wrote that Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost rejected the proposed amendment language 8 times and found the reasons dubious. The 3-judge panel ruled 2-1 that Ohio was restricting organizers' speech and must approve the measure's description. But April 9th, Yost appealed to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh for an emergency stay of the Sixth Circuit's order, which Kavanaugh immediately granted despite the sketchy circumstances. We'll continue to watch this situation. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House is adamant that the Maryland man deported to El Salvador on suspicions he was a gang member will remain in a prison there.
Nothing will change the fact that Abrego Garcia will never be a Maryland father. He will never live in the United States of America again.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt speaking Wednesday, even though the Supreme Court's ordered the Trump administration to facilitate Abrego Garcia's return. Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen was blocked from meeting with Abrego Garcia when he traveled to El Salvador. Separately, a federal judge said there's probable cause the Trump administration acted in contempt of court in defying his ruling to bring back 2 airplanes carrying deported migrants. Officials from the U.S. and Japan met Wednesday for trade talks. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that the economic effects of President Trump's tariffs will lead to higher inflation and slower growth. Today, Secretary of State Marco Rubio in Paris for talks on the Russia-Ukraine war. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. Those are the words of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York director Chris Columbus. He is referring to the 7-second cameo by Donald Trump in the film. Columbus wants the Trump cameo removed from the film, saying it's become a curse and adding that the 47th president bullied his way into the movie, telling the production they couldn't shoot at the Plaza Hotel unless he was in the film. Columbus joked that if he cuts the cameo, he could be deemed not fit to live in America and deported. I think he was joking. Here's a quick pick. The show Mobland on Paramount Plus is pretty good. The Guy Ritchie directed shows stars Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, and Thomas Hardy. It's a fast-moving mob caper that doesn't hold back on gang violence. It is shot with Ritchie's classic pacing, so even if there is a moment you get bored with, it's quickly over. I'm 3 episodes in, and we'll keep you posted. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers tanked the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win. Next day, you have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball, the Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. In Green Bay, the NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that you really can't match.
That's the Packers Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens, who will make the popcorn pick of the week. And then all the way from WGBW, Amanda Nimmer joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thundershowers likely from later this morning into this afternoon. Mid-60s for a high. Tonight, showers, scattered thundershowers, low 50s. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high in the low to mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for if they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water?
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off-ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that
where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
That's positive. And another...
Thursday morning, you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Pam is taking some vacation time on the Kentucky Bourbon Trail this week. It's about 10 degrees warmer down there than it is here, but I'm sure after enough samples of bourbon, I bet it feels tropical. If you're traveling this weekend, safe travels to you. If you're sticking around, you'll be pleased with some of the options to have fun with the family here at home. Spring animal swaps are underway. The Walworth County Fur and Feather Committee hosts animal swaps the Saturday before Easter to help fund the fur and feather sale at the county fair. Dale Wheelock is the committee chair for the group. They've got a swap schedule for this Saturday from 7 to 10 a.m. at the Walworth County Fairgrounds in Elkhorn. Dale says you can find a lot of stuff there. Exotic breeds, farm and lawn equipment, crafts, some of it for cash, some of it for barter.
The money we make from the swap goes to run the sale at the fair because we take no money from the kids at the sale at the fair. They give us $150 for a rabbit. They get a check for $150. And that's why we started it, because the committee members would end up after the sale giving some money to make, you know, to pay all the bills. So we decided to start that. The money we make also helps us. We give four $1,000 scholarships to graduating seniors or freshmen in college.
Dale Wheelock with the Walworth County Fur and Feather Swap. He recommends checking Facebook to see if there's events like this in your area. If you do bring new animals home, the way you work with them is a science. Our own Ben Jarbo found that out from Dr. Temple Grandin during her recent visit to the UW-Madison campus.
Temple Grandin is a staple in U.S. agriculture. Well known for her work on the humane harvest of livestock, as well as the better understanding of the behavior of animals. Temple was in Madison, where I had the opportunity to speak with her about the work she has done throughout her life, as well as current issues that she is seeing within the animal agriculture industry.
When I first started, I got down in the chutes to see what cattle were seeing. This is back in the 70s. And it was obvious to me to look at what the cattle were looking at. They'd stop at a shadow, a coat on a fence, a piece of string hanging down. Now, at the time, I didn't know that. I thought in pictures, and other people tended not to think in pictures. I now have a new book out now called Visual Thinking, where I show this science that shows that some people are object visualizers. They can be really good with mechanical things and mechanical aptitude in animals. And then you have other people that are more mathematical and pattern thinkers, and are actually different kinds of thinking, and they look at things differently. And as a visual thinker, it was obvious to me to look at what cattle were looking at. And I get asked all the time, are the cattle afraid of getting slaughtered? No, they're more afraid of shadows or seeing a person standing up ahead.
And through your time, you've not only worked with cattle, but with other animals. What are some other things you've noticed with other types of animals, say like horses or pigs or something?
Well, one of my students recently did a study, name is Megan Corrigan, which may explain why sometimes a horse just spooks for no reason. And we took a children's play set that has a little swing and a slide for a toddler. Now, when you think about it, when you rotate that 90 degrees, that slide looks really, really different. So she walked horses past this little colorful children's play set until they no longer stopped, no longer looked at it. And when the play set was rotated, it became a new object. You see, we would look at it and go, it's a kid's toy. Horse doesn't know it's a kid's toy. But it looks very, very different than it when it's rotated. And we have a paper that's got a title, something like Reaction to a Complex Rotated Object in the American Quarter Horse. It's a free download. But this may explain why sometimes a horse spooks for no reason. And I repeated the experiment with a big plastic green chair with Western riders. And I had him walk by it, just at a walk. I didn't want anything dangerous to happen here. And till the horses no longer looked at the chair or stopped. I rotated that chair, half the horses hard stop. If that had been in a gallop, they would have been dumped. I did it at a walk. So it's really important to show animals all sides of an object. And one of them is a Western saddle tipped up on its horn. If you take a Western saddle and you put it on a fence, it looks like a saddle. But you tip it up on the horn, especially if the fleece is nice and clean, that doesn't look like a saddle. That looks like something totally different. You better get the horse used to that, too.
And through the years, what has been your favorite research you have done, maybe the most fun or just most exciting to learn something new?
Well, one thing I worked on a number of years ago was working in the zoo with training antelopes to cooperate with veterinary work. Very, very flighty animal. Nobody thought we could train them. I worked with Nancy Earlbeck, who was the zoo's nutritionist. Yes, and we got antelopes trained. So they'd walk into a box, and you could give them vaccinations and give them shots, and they'd be just fine about it. And we did that back in the 90s, and nobody thought we could do it. We trained the untrainable animal, and you have to go through a very long period of habituation to get them used to a sliding door opening, for example.
And if we fast forward to now and the future, what are you working on now, and what are your next big things to tackle here?
Well, the next thing I did after working on designing facilities was developing a very simple scoring system for assessing slaughter plants. And I taught, this is 25 years ago now, I taught McDonald's, Burger King, and Wendy's how to use it. And we got the slaughter plants really working nice. But the problem we've got now is we're breeding cattle with things wrong with them. Crossed toes, crooked toes, congestive heart failure problems. There's some cattle today, they're crippled heart patient. And it's just over genetic selection for very rapid growth, big ribeyes. And there are certain genetic lines of cattle that have got a problem with this. And so one of my big concerns is breeding animals that have things wrong with them, like breeding bulldogs that can't breathe. I have a problem with that. Breeding racehorses, so much of a speed that the bones just break. Animals need to be functional, whether it's a pet or a food animal.
And to go along with that, what are you working on to show people that this is an issue and it is a bigger issue than some may believe?
Well, the problem with some of these problems like the heart failure, it used to just be at high altitude. It slowly got worse. I call this bad becoming normal. The lameness slowly got worse. Problems with the bad leg conformation and bad foot conformation slowly got worse. It's kind of coming to a head right now. And we're going to have to back off on some of this genetic selection because 2,000 feet is not high altitude sickness anymore. And I don't care whether it's a pet or whether it's a farm animal, we need to be breeding animals that are functional, that can breathe, that can walk. Recently I saw a deformed leg from a naked dwarf cat. I'm going, why are we breeding things like that where the leg joint just breaks? I've got problems with that.
Well, and before I let you go here, is there anything else that you'd like to let our listeners know, maybe either with your work or just anything about you that you want them to know?
Well, I want to help students that think differently be successful. I'm very concerned about object visualizers. We need their mechanical skills, but they're not very, very good at math. And I'm worried that we're screening out the people that can fix mechanical things. That's one of the things I'm working on right now. And I have a book that's titled Visual Thinking, The Hidden Gifts of People Who Think in Pictures, Patterns, and Abstractions, where I talk about the different kinds of thinkers. There's scientific research that shows this. The Army puts a big value on mechanical aptitude. I talked to a veteran recently who aced the Army's mechanical aptitude test but failed algebra. They put her to work fixing big cargo jets. You know, this is a really important skill that needs to be valued.
Temple Grandin is also an advocate for autism awareness, saying that we need people who think differently to better the world.
Ben Jarbo getting some one-on-one time with Dr. Temple Grandin while she was visiting the UW-Madison campus. Stick around, we've got a conversation with Everegg coming up. Also, a look at our markets and a peek into the Old Farmer's Almanac.
It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
Yeah, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Vohl. Bavaria Sausage, shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Whenever I cover the early show for Pam, I like to crack open the Old Farmer's Almanac. There's a handy guide in the astrology section that tells you what activities are good to do today based on the phase of the moon. So for April 17th, the Old Farmer's Almanac says it's a good day to straighten your hair, go camping, and prune your plants. That's what's on the to-do list today, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. Markets are mixed on a Thursday morning from Chicago. Cash corn down a quarter of a cent at 484 a bushel. December new crop corn sitting neutral at 466 and three quarters. Cash beans are up 4 cents at 1042 and three quarters. November new crop beans up 2 1/4 at 1036 and a half. The May Class 3 milk contract is down a penny at 1790 a hundredweight. The June contract up 2 cents at 1721. We'll take a deeper dive into the dairy space with broker and analyst Cody Koster. He joins us from EverEgg next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabe, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll talk issues that matter to you with State Senator Sarah Kieski and also Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich. Also, the NFL Draft of the Packers. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
So, Cody, let's start with the support that the Class 3 milk price has seen. We had a very kind of pessimistic run there when milk fell under $16 a hundredweight, but now it's on the rise. What's going on?
Yeah, we've rallied about $1.50 in the past week and a half, 2 weeks. I think a big part of it was we had global dairy trade that was yesterday, so our GDT auction, which shows us what's happening primarily in Europe and in other countries across the world. But their cheese price was actually a little bit stronger yesterday. And if you look at the close, they are trading their cheddar cheese at about $2.20 a pound. And if you come back into the United States and look at our cheese price, we're at $1.85. And there's, I think, more exports got booked last month, even with tariffs on, than people really realized. And still at that 50 to 60 cents discrepancy that we're at, even before the GDT yesterday, I think we're seeing a lot more product flying out of the country from other countries just because we are the cheapest in the world. I mean, we remain that way. We've been that way for a few weeks, if not months now, and we're finally just starting to pick back up on our export numbers again.
I want to elaborate a little bit more on that because, as you said, we expected tariffs to throw a wrench in all things dairy sales, but no one can argue with the price, right? U.S. is the cheapest in the world. Is it a good thing to be cheap?
You know, it's obviously for the milk check, it's never a great thing to be cheap for dairy producers because that's money that's not going back to them in their milk check. But as far as getting export orders off, that is where the cheapness really comes into play. And also, I will say the weakening dollar that we have right now is also helping exports. So the way that I was taught and the way that it goes is a weaker dollar compared to rising monies in different countries is always good for exports out of the United States. They can come in and buy essentially a little bit more product with their money, with our dollar falling, to get exports booked. And I think that's exactly what you're seeing happening. Even today, the dollar being down slightly again is still getting some of these exports booked and out of the market, honestly.
All right, so good news on the export front, putting value into our dairy economy. Are we expecting that to continue? Have you seen a cold storage report that says, you know, we're eating up cheese?
I think next week and the 22nd or 23rd is when we get our cold storage report. So next week is a big USDA report week. We've got milk production on Tuesday, and then Thursday we get cold storage report, and everyone's kind of sitting on hands and knees trying to figure out what those numbers are truly looking like. But as far as you know, where prices are right now, we have more supply in country than we do demand, and I think a big part of that is at EverAg we track a lot of earnings from different companies, and quarter one earnings from like McDonald's, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, fast food restaurants that use a lot of dairy products, especially the barrel for their cheese on burgers and such, was down. It was down significantly. Different companies reported 6 to 8. The highest I saw was 10% year over year. But I think because of the tariffs going on, a lot more people are holding monies in their pocket, maybe not going out to eat as much. If they went out 3 times a week, I've heard some people try to cut that back to 1 just because they're trying to save the money in case we go into a recession, which is kind of everyone's general fear when these tariffs originally were put on a few weeks ago.
We're not in a cheese eating season. I think that passed us by after the Super Bowl, right?
Right. Yeah. Super Bowl was the big pizza demand for cheese. Then Easter coming up is going to be the big butter demand, but that has been done, you know, with the buying for a couple months now. When we get into grilling season in the summer and into the fall, like you're talking about, that's when we start picking up a little bit more on the cheese front. And I'd say in the next couple of weeks, companies are probably going to need to get their finalized orders for a lot of that time frame, because you have to think we have to get it cut and wrapped and shipped in that allotted amount of time. And it takes a few weeks to get all the trucks transported and figure out where they're going to go. So there could be a little bit more buying in the CME as far as cheese wise here in the next couple of weeks leading into the month of May.
May will be the last month that we care about the barrel cheese price. Is that right? Is that what I'm told?
That is correct. Yep, starting June 1, we're going to go to a block price as far as the FMMO is concerned. And the barrel, from what I understand and everyone else in the industry understands, is it will be priced off of that block. That's kind of where the big questions and disparity comes from. Is it going to be the block price minus 3 cents, 5 cents, 8 cents? I think people are going to have to figure that one out internally when they're selling cheese. But that price is going to be gone here in about another month and a half.
And Cody, we'll keep catching up about it as we near the June 1st start date. Cody Koster along with us from Everegg as we round out a Thursday morning. And as he said, big report week next week. We'll look forward to catching up with Everegg next Thursday after the USDA milk production numbers come out. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. Thanks for tagging along with me here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. Sure, you still presume innocent, but since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Peas are rapidly making headway in the plant-based protein sector. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. What started as a seed genetics business in the mid-1980s has evolved into a major player in the plant-based protein arena. Minneapolis-based Purus is betting big on peas. Here's corporate development manager Zach Hubert.
Peas are a great fit for this problem. They're a climate-smart crop. They fix nitrogen in the soil, meaning they add more nitrogen than they consume. They're incredibly water-efficient, preserving a precious resource, especially in the face of changing climates. Peas and other pulses produce less greenhouse gas emissions per pound of protein than any other source. Protein from peas has 6 times fewer emissions than dairy proteins and over 13 times less emissions than beef. And then they promote healthy topsoil.
Hubert says the U.S. grows about 4 million acres of peas, and global production is only 14 million acres. He believes production is a food security issue.
I think the future here is around protein independence. When you look at the world today, some of the geopolitical tensions going on, I think protein independence is going to be the focus of the conversation and ensuring that we have high-quality ingredients to feed the population. So this is just the beginning. Opportunities continue to exist to increase efficiency per acre through protein density and improved yields.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, we'll be giving a cheerful farewell to Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. It's been an amazing journey, but this is not the end. He'll still be involved in my podcast down the line.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.